Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Chris Felico. Kind of an early show, I would say. 4th of July is kind of a wonky week, you know, popular vacation week and, you know, just kind of hectic for family life. But how you doing, Chris?
Doing well. Looking forward to the holiday, watching some baseball. I always think about the movie The Sandlot when they have that scene with the 4th of July and then playing under the fireworks. So there's no better time.
Yeah. What an iconic movie. So you got any plans, or do you go, are you a fireworks guy? I mean, you have kids, so.
Yeah, I'll probably watch some fireworks. I've never been big on myself, but for the kids, I'll do it.
I can't stand the traffic. The fireworks show is awesome. And then you're sitting there for an hour because you can't get out of the damn parking lot.
Yeah. It's 10 minutes worth of watching for 2 hours worth of moving.
Yeah, I don't know. But when growing up, we had a family that lived on a lake, so we would take the boats out, and there were these two rich families that were just loaded, and they would go all out with their fireworks show, and you'd be out in the boats, and the fireworks would be up above you. It was like the coolest thing. And anyway, those are my favorite 4th of July memories. But all right, so Red Sox off day. We're about to catch a theoretically easy part of the schedule. You got the Washington Nationals. You've got the Colorado Rockies coming up. Two of the worst leagues, two of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. So if you're going to try to right the ship, this is where you do it. But this is the Hot Takes episode, so we are going to get into that. If you're watching on the streams, you can submit those in, and perhaps we'll read them. But we've got a couple to start with that we like. First one comes from Jason C. I creeped his profile. He is from Massachusetts, and he says, if Max Muncy is done for the year, bad knee injury last night, by the way. I haven't followed up on it, but it looked pretty bad. But he says, if Max Muncy is done for the year, Alex Bregman will be a Dodger at the deadline. What are your thoughts?
I don't know what would be more cringeworthy, the injury to Muncy or the idea of the Dodgers getting Bregman. You know what? I would, you know, there's a part of me, it's like, oh, that's so far-fetched. But, I mean, it's the Dodgers. I mean, it seems like they get and can get whoever the heck they want whenever they want. It's intriguing. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how these next 10 games go. I mean, it just wouldn't make any sense for the sheer fact that you have, you know, basically the front office going out there and praying that we're going to be buyers. And there's nothing that says more that you're not a buyer than getting rid of your, now what is certainly your best hitter if he comes back healthy. So I'm going to say that's, it's not going to happen. But it, then again, if it did, I wouldn't be that shocked.
So I don't know what's going to happen with Alex Bregman. Part of me thinks, I wrote an article on this on bastardsofboston.com. So we put out stuff just about daily on that site if you like to read in print type stuff. But I think with Bregman, the Red Sox kind of have all the leverage. I mean, he's injured right now, not really helping the team, and the team has desperately needed him. And he just hasn't been helping out. And now he's like, oh, by the way, I'll sign an extension. You know, you signed me to this brilliant contract that only lasts for 3 years. I'd gladly sign a dumb contract at this point for several more years. So I just think it's kind of weird timing there. And but the one thing that does give me pause is you traded Devers, and the reason you traded Devers is because he's upset about the Bregman thing. So the Bregman thing kind of caused Devers to be traded, and now you're going to lose him too. I just think as far as optics go, maybe they do need to keep Bregman. I'm not sure. But as far as the hot take goes, who's far and away the best American League team right now?
Detroit Tigers.
The Detroit Tigers. Who was the runner-up for Bregman last winter?
Detroit Tigers.
The Detroit Tigers. So what's the World Series most likely going to be? Tigers, I would say Tigers-Dodgers. So I don't think the Tigers are going to be thrilled with the Dodgers getting the guy that they wanted. So I think the Tigers could enter the chat, and they've got a very good farm system.
Yeah. I think that's a good, if it's there, there's smoke to it. I would agree with you. I think that the Tigers would be just as likely. And the fact that they were pretty much that close to acquiring Bregman before we got the deal done would make a lot of sense. It'd make a lot of sense for both parties. The question becomes, if the Dodgers were willing to trade for him, is it for long-term? And if it's not, then I almost certainly would think then, yeah, the Tigers certainly would make more sense since they were willing to go multi-year on a contract to begin with.
If you're Bregman, either scenario is fine, because if you're on the Dodgers, you're going to the postseason and you're going to potentially increase your value this winter if you intend to opt out. And the Dodgers have so much money on the books, I don't even think they would care if he opted out. They just want a stud third baseman. But if he goes to the Tigers, he's going to be reunited with AJ Hinch. He's on a team that's essentially proven itself now. Last year wasn't a fluke. They're a very good baseball team. And yeah, so he'll be on that baseball team. And I think he would love to play for AJ Hinch again. And if you're Bregman's camp, maybe after the trade to Detroit, you leverage in the extension late in the season. So that's just there's a lot of crazy implications that could happen if the Red Sox trade him. And the other thing too, if you're the Red Sox and you know the Dodgers and the Tigers want him, you can maybe get them into a bidding war to get this insane trade package.
I would love to think that, Terry. We traded Mookie Betts to the Dodgers and got, you know, a ham sandwich, a sack of baseballs, and a half-drink Gatorade. So, yes, in theory, You would like to think that you'd be able to get a lot, but I don't know if I have the confidence in the Sox to be able to, especially Craig Breslow, to acquire anything of, you know, serious value coming back. The only thing I would say is obviously, you know, we've said we traded Devers. They ate all the money. There's not that much money to be ate here, right? So, like, you don't have that on the table hanging over the deal. So maybe you could acquire some more talent, especially for two teams that are certainly trying to chase a World Series. Although I don't necessarily know if you can make the argument that the Dodgers are certainly, you know, that desperate. They've won a couple of World Series in recent memory, obviously last year. The Tigers, to me, would be the ones who would be willing to overpay at the deadline a little bit more because there's a lot more desperation. And I think, to your point, like last year there was a lot of, oh, you know, this team's not really for real. They just want a really hot run second half of the year. Well, now it's real, and they have a chance to really create a little mini dynasty in that division for the next, for, you know, let's say 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I wouldn't even be shocked if the Astros got re-engaged there, you know, especially if he's just a rental. Because very quietly, I mean, they're the best team in the AL Central right now. And I don't know how they're doing it because they only have two pitchers that can really hold it down, Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown. But so perhaps they'll be looking more at the pitching market. But yeah, it's just interesting. And this is going to be a fascinating month. The hours leading up to the deadline, I mean, I'm surprised Twitter doesn't get broken that day with all the refreshing, you know, especially during the 3 p.m. hour, because the deadline's usually 4 p.m. Eastern. And then even after 4 p.m., you're still not going to hear about the trades that literally happened at 3:58 and 3:59 p.m. until maybe as late as 4:15, 4:20. Those will get announced. So I don't know.
I saw a funny, since we're talking about the whole Bregman thing, saw a funny tweet, I think it was this morning, by a Red Sox fan that was like, Red Sox should extend Bregman for like the next 8 years, give him an 8-year contract. And when, you know, well, it gets interesting. It's actually kind of funny. So it's like, let him play it out, like three of it playing baseball and the next 3 years as Cora, and then let Cora take over for Breslow. Like, it was this elaborate where basically everyone just kind of shifts into new roles. And Bregman becomes the new manager. I thought it was funny and kind of creative because he's been so much of a quote-unquote mentor to the young guys. But yeah, no, our luck, we would hand him an 8-year contract with the intention of playing baseball, and we'd fall miserably on our face.
Yeah, it's just funny how irrational fans get. Like, there's a big faction of Red Sox Nation that would – they'd give him another 3 years at 120 beyond the current deal. And he's clearly not going to be that durable, and he's not going to be that good by the time age 34 comes around. It's just not going to happen. But then they'll pivot and they'll be like, he's worth it just for helping the kids, you know, and mentoring them. That's worth $40 million. And I'm like, no, it's not. Just shut the hell up. Get out. Get out. I hate how we have to be the adults in the room podcast, but you know, somebody's got to be that podcast.
Yeah. Someone has to be the adult to manage the children.
Yeah. Even the dog agrees. so what's the next one? What do we got next?
All right. So next one, we've got Chad, handles at Chad12952211. Toro is better than Casas. And just taking a quick peek at where Casas was before he blew out his patella tendon. So he had 99 at-bats. He was batting 182, 11 RBIs, 3 home runs, OBP 277. Quickly looking at Abraham Toro, he's got about 148 at-bats. So, I mean, a decent amount more. But, I mean, batting average is 291, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs, OBP of 335. So, I mean, significantly better. Granted, it's a little bit larger of a sample size. I don't necessarily know if I would say this is a quote-unquote hot take at this point. I think what makes it a hot take is if you're looking at just the two players at face value, there's no arguing that Tristan Casas, and I can't stand Tristan Casas. There's not many people more down on him than me. He has a higher ceiling at face value than Abraham Toro. However, the floor of Abraham Toro is so much higher than Tristan Casas at this point. It's actually – it went into like going to a level where it's a hot take. It's like, no, this isn't even a hot take. Like, Abraham Toro is a better baseball player than Tristan Casas. He's a better fielder than Tristan Casas. And, you know, he runs the first base a lot harder and doesn't get hurt when he does it. So, yeah, what are your thoughts?
I mean, Casas has had three good months in Boston ever.
And so Toro.
It was exactly. Toro's getting there. If Toro gives you five good months, he's already beat the production from Casas. And those three good months from Casas were July, August, and September of 2023. So next year will be the third year since that three-month run. That's where Tristan Casas is at. And like you said, I mean, if Abraham Toro can run to first base without blowing his knee out, he's better than Tristan Casas. I was like, so, yeah. And I don't think Toro is, a long-term guy. It's kind of annoying to me that he's doing so good. I'm not going to lie, because I just feel like Breslow feels like super validated that he might have had this big find. But nonetheless, I mean, Toro is hitting extremely well. He's batting .291, five dingers, driven in 16. His on base is finally starting to rise a little bit because he has walked a little bit in the last week. So he's got a .335 on base and not a great defender. Nick, the voice, was saying, I think it was last night, he goes, I don't ever want to see Toro at third base again. That didn't go well at all. But the Romy Toro platoon seems to be working out. And I think Romy's had some issues at first as far as defense. But yeah, he's hitting well. He's definitely exceeded expectations. I figured he'd be up for a week and then optioned back down or DFA'd. I don't even know what is what he has for service time. But
yeah, I think with Abraham Toro, what we all didn't want to see was basically like David Hamilton 2.0 from last year, where it's like, why is this guy up? And I remember when we were doing this podcast last year, like every night he was in the lineup, it's like, God, I have to see David Hamilton again. And it's not that I'm excited to see Abraham Toro, but I don't feel the same way. It's like, all right, he's serviceable enough where it's like, I'm not irked by it, but there is the part that irks me, to your point, where is Brezzo sitting there like Smithers from The Simpsons, like, yes, we got our guy. I feel good about this. And that's not a good feeling at all. Because he's not the long-term solution. He's an adequate, more than adequate, to be honest, backup platoon player who can come in, fill in a pinch for an injury, someone blows something out, whatever. What is going to be interesting, because we're already starting to see it, and the talk is out there, is Massa. Massa's been fielding ground balls at first base. So what happens when Masataka Yoshida comes back? Is he going to be our first baseman?
No, I don't believe so. At 5'8", he would be a fish out of water there. And I just think they're trolling. And I don't think a fourth place team should be telling jokes like that. You know, I mentioned that last night. Just focus on the legit players that are playing as legitimate positions as they possibly can. I just, the trolling and stuff, he's going to DH and he's going to platoon that with Rob Refsnyder. And that's going to be what Yoshida does. And, you know, perhaps he'll make an impact. Real quick on Toro. So OPS plus league average is 100. That's considered to be league average OPS plus. Toro is hitting 120. And that's very good. What do you think David Hamilton's OPS plus is?
And what did you say league average was?
100.
110?
No. David Hamilton? 37.
Oh, I thought you said Toro.
No, Toro's 120.
All right, so I wasn't that far off. David Hamilton is, did you say 27?
37. Oh, I don't even, how are you even in the big leagues? It's just crazy.
What's Connor Wong's?
Oh God.
Negative three.
I don't know if it can get negative.
Let's see. He could make it negative. If there's anyone that can, it's Connor Wong right now.
17.
Oh my God.
17. Yeah. So just ugly. I think there was a hot take in there for Yoshida, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Scott H. He is probably from Massachusetts. Says Boston. He is a craft beer enthusiast, thrill junkie. How do you get that from the Red Sox? I don't know. Roller coasters, Patriots. He likes the mighty, mighty Bostones. But anyway, so he says, as I go off of that page, he says Yoshida will hit 14 home runs this season once he returns from the DL. So we don't call it the disabled list anymore. That's that hurts people's feelings. We call it the injured list. It never hurt my feelings, by the way. But all right, 15 dingers for Yoshida. What do you say?
I think that, you know, math is one of those things that, you know, they're facts. They tend to not lie. They just show reality. And Masataka Yoshida played in 140 games in 2023, hit 15 home runs, and then 108 last year and hit 10. So if you're telling me in a little bit less than a half a season, he's going to match that, I think you're crazy. Because the math says that it's not possible.
I think that's also crazy. Basically, I mean, for him to do that, if he had a chip on his shoulder and was mad that the Red Sox essentially put him in the witness protection program, and part of that might have been Devers' fault because he blocked him. But if he comes back and he's mad and he's got a chip on his shoulder, yeah, I could see him going on a bit of a tear. But he hasn't really faced major league hitters since what, last September?
Yeah.
You know, so we're coming up on almost a year, 10 months. It's just far-fetched that he's going to do it. And he's extremely streaky as well. I mean, he'll have these nice little hot streaks, and then he'll spend the next week and a half rolling over ground balls to second base. He'll be a ground into double plays machine for a while, and, you know, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that'll hit 5 dingers in, like, 10 games and then not hit a home run for, like, 35 games, and it wouldn't shock me. I think if there's an argument to be made, not to rain on the parade, but to kind of reel us back in and try and make an argument for this, is that if he was DHing more and wasn't having to play the field as a platoon player, and was getting a decent amount of at bats, and the fact that he's only playing for a half a season, because there was always the argument of like him not being able to handle a full MLB schedule coming from Japan, maybe he gets streaky enough and stays healthy enough and just happens to get hot enough that he hits 10 in a very short period of time, then it's just, all right, it's a math game. How much time is left to hit 5 more? But I'm again, the facts of the past tell me that it's not possible.
Our good buddy Johnny Fontaine says Sam Kennedy has passed the lying and gaslighting test and is now an official member of the Kennedy family. So I've said it before, I'll say it again. Nothing good happens when a Kennedy is involved. It's a dangerous one if you want to get into it.
I mean, you're not lying. I mean, listen, you picked the perfect organization if that's the case, because, I mean, the amount of gaslighting and lying that has gone on with the Red Sox, perfect state for it too, I guess, if we're getting political about it, but... No, but in all seriousness, I mean, yeah, it's pretty insane at this point, the amount of quote unquote lying and gaslighting that has come from Sam Kennedy, specifically the Red Sox organization. Although, you know, right now they're out there waving their pom poms that like, we're buyers, you know, we're going to do our part. And, you know, whether they actually do remains to be seen, because I feel like we've in the last 5 seasons heard that at certain points where we're going to be buyers until it comes, you know, time to actually, you know, put your finger on the trigger and pull it. And then all of a sudden we get cold feet. So
what about this ties into the Breslow thing, but is it possible that Cora could be the replacement for Breslow. I think it would be a bad move myself.
Yeah. I think just with the way everything has gone on at this point in Alex Cora's tenure, he either needs to right the ship and prove that he can be the long-term manager that can manage not only, you know, star-studded veteran lineups, but also cultivate a certain culture and be able to put the building blocks in place for a young team and get them to the next level. And if he can't do that, like, what confidence am I going to have that he's going to come in as a first-time GM, which this would now be the third first-time GM, come in and fix an organization when, again, I'm not saying he's a bad manager, but if he can't be a multidimensional manager and be good at that and manage different types of teams to success, what confidence do I have that he could be a great GM?
Exactly. And half the fan base already hates him anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not getting a guy with a clean slate. You're not getting the experienced guy that you probably covet. But the Red Sox, I think, are dumb enough to do it because they'll look at 2 years ago and they're like, well, nobody wanted it. So why put ourselves through that again? Let's just give it to Cora. Maybe he turns it around. But I just think that would be a really dumb move at this point. Like I've said in the last week or so, you just got to agree to let the new guy clean house, let him hire all of his executives that he wants to have in there, and then let him pick his own manager. Like, that's what the Red Sox should do. But they're dumb and arrogant and think they're smarter than everyone. And this is going to be the sixth out of the last seven Octobers where they're not participating. Rob Manfred created an extra playoff spot, and the Red Sox can't even make it into that.
As you were talking, you actually kind of just made me think it's like almost a foregone conclusion he's going to be our next general manager.
That's so bad, isn't it?
Because you know what? Number one, you know, there's the saying, right? Like, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. So, like, there's already that level of comfortability. I also think that Cora's more of a company guy than I think that a lot of fans think, you know, because I think there's a lot of fans out there that think like, oh, Alex Cora, he kind of just like wants to do whatever he wants. He's pissed off. It's like, he signed an extension. If he was really that pissed, he wouldn't be here because he can get a job tomorrow anywhere. Regardless of what you think of he is as a manager, he can get a job anywhere. He stayed. He was, along with Sam Kennedy, on board with bringing in Bregman when Breslow was against it, right? And they ended up winning out on that. And he seemed to be more culpable and involved in the whole Devers thing than we were led to believe in the beginning, and possibly more on board with it than we thought, or had been alluded to initially, which makes me think that, like, he's the type of guy who maybe operates more in the shadows with the things that he agrees upon with the front office and puts on a little bit different of a persona to the media, which keeps us guessing a bit. And that would be the type of move where the Red Sox are like, oh, no one wanted it. Like, we at least know this guy's going to do what we say. We hired two first-timers from outside the organization, although Breslow did have some ties, but you know what I mean, as far as from an operational in that moment. And, like, at least we have that going for us. And it saves face, and they could sell it where it's like, oh, this was always the right guy. This is the guy we really wanted. It's just a position he didn't want at the time. We wanted to groom him and wait for him to be ready, versus more egg on your face where we go out there, do a search, the chat bots get rid of, you know, half the candidates, and then the other half that we interview don't want it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm in love with the whole player GM thing. We're seeing it in San Francisco with Buster Posey, and they're doing fine. I mean, they're five games above 500, half a game out of a wild card. And I know Devers is off to a rough start, but Devers is the type of guy, when he's handed a tough set of circumstances, it takes him a little while to sort that out. And I'm cautiously optimistic for them that he will have a pretty good second half. And if they make the postseason, he'll be a big part of helping them get there. But still, having said that, you know, you look at the rest of Buster Posey's performance, I think that Willy Adames contract is going to age poorly. You know, he's not a high on base guy. I just can't see him being super productive into his mid-30s. And the Matt Chapman extension, I thought that was a lot of money for a guy who doesn't typically hit well for average either. So I just, and then who's the other one? Chris Young in Texas. I mean, they did win a World Series, so there's that. But yeah, when I look at that roster, I see a lot of unsustainable contracts. So I don't know. I just hope the player GM thing doesn't become a bigger trend, and I certainly hope the Red Sox don't add to that.
Well, I think the player GM thing, you know, to me, I've never been a proponent of these players where it's like, all right, we had a relief pitcher, right? Like, not that he's not a player, but it's different than like Buster Posey, who's an everyday catcher, right? Like, from a fundamental standpoint, the game, managing personalities, being really involved to a certain degree in the culture and like the overall in a clubhouse versus a relief pitcher. But to give Buster Posey a little bit of credit, because I think there's some factors there, right? Like, no one has wanted to go to San Francisco, so he's kind of had to beg people to take money, and that's not necessarily his fault. And what I will say with the things that were within his control, like, yeah, Devers hasn't been hot, but look what he gave up to get Devers, which was essentially nothing, right? Yeah, they had to take on the money, but they've been trying to give away double that amount of money for the last three off seasons, and just no one wants to take it. No one wants to be in San Fran. You know, baseball is becoming a very weird sport where even San Francisco, which is a pretty big market from a sports standpoint, is not what it used to be. You know, it's not like the NBA where these players just go to any team. Same thing with football. Baseball is becoming this where it's like there's very specific markets. And let's face it, San Francisco, you're like third best in that state at this point from a sports market in baseball. So I agree with you, but I do think there's some other factors that have put him in a position that's not necessarily the most favorable. But the Texas one is, yeah, it's indefensible. I mean, I know they won a World Series, but that was lightning in a bottle, and it doesn't seem like they're replicating that anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, they should be winning that division every year, you know, just like the Astros did with that payroll and all that. But, you know, that middle infield was, what, over $500 million, I think? Yeah,
$500 million, insane.
Between, yeah, Seager and Simeon. So, yeah, we'll see. I think they're going to be in for a long, painful window there, kind of like they were after, you know, in the late teens, you know, 2017 yeah, through 21 or so. But, yeah, that's a fair point with Posey. I mean, yeah, it's not a desirable market. You know, San Francisco, it's not as bad as Seattle is with all the craziness going on with the activism, but it's still not a desirable place by any means. In California, it's expensive. It's the highest taxes in baseball. So
yeah, and San Fran's not LA. Not from a media market standpoint.
True. Absolutely true. All right, let's get to one more. I don't think we'll spend much time on it. This is from Bobby G. Where's Bobby from? His profile says he's from wherever he damn well pleases. So there's that. But he says, John Henry pees sitting down. And I mean, could you blame him? I mean, how many 77-year-olds can find the strike zone at that point in their life? We've gone into those Walmart bathrooms. We know who's doing all that.
The real question is, does he pop the stogie and light her up while he's sitting there?
Probably. It's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what John Henry's bathroom probably costs more than every house on my block. That's just, I don't live in the fanciest part of Myrtle, but yeah. So anyway, well, all right.
With all that savings from that Devers contract.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We will wrap on that. It'll be myself and Nick the Voice. Not sure what time we're starting because it is the 4th of July. I basically told him, whenever you're good, I'm good. It could be right after the game. It could be later on at night. So we will be back with you tomorrow at some point to discuss the first game of the National Series. So hopefully everyone has a nice, safe long weekend or long vacation if you happen to be on it this week. And you know, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. Be safe. And watch out for all the people that do those things. So everyone, take care.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.